Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
And now, coming to you live from atop the Lavender Town Radio Tower, it's the one, the only, Puckle Podcast.
It's Puckle!
Puckle!
Pokemon Underground Champions League, oh yeah!
Puckle!
Puckle.
And welcome to episode number 427 of the Puckle Podcast. Puckle stands for the Pokemon Underground Champions League, which is a name that Thatch came up when he was a wee little boy. And we talk anything Pokemon here. We usually talk about the video game. We also talk about the card game, the anime, the movies. And I guess Pokemon Mystery Dungeon is going to be here very, very shortly, so that as well. As usual, I'm going to ask my beautiful co-hosts what I've been doing lately, and I just realized I haven't introduced them. With us today is the man, the myth, the Scron.
Yes, it is a pleasure to be here today, Whimsicott. Thank you very much.
Thank you for being here. And then the man with the facts, the R Sigma.
Howdy.
So as I was saying, it is tradition here to ask each other, what have we been up to lately? So start off, you guys.
Yeah, totally. So as you guys know, I've been running VGC tournaments, and February is set to be poppin', because the last weekend of the month, we've got the Collinsville Regionals here, and the weekend before, I've scheduled a mid-season showdown, and the weekend before that, I've scheduled a Premier Challenge, so I'm really excited. It's going to be
lots,
but...
Lots of
Someone is doing Pokemon Month very much right.
Right? I have no free time, but it's all right.
I mean, I hope you get a really nice turnout there.
I better. If people don't show up to this, I'm going to be mad. It's like, I am giving up my Sundays for you guys. You don't get to stay in bed. You're going to play some Pokemon.
I mean, I hope I'm not including that you guys, because the airplane fare is a bit prohibitive.
Oh, no, you're exempted on this occasion.
Thank you. Very much appreciated.
What about you, Sigma?
Last weekend, I did a bunch of shiny breeding that I didn't expect to do, but I got extremely lucky with.
Oh,
I saw your tweet.
That was only like half of them.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. On Friday, I started breeding a Shellder, and I got it almost immediately.
Nice.
So then after that, it's like, okay, let's go on to Hydreigon. I enjoy Hydreigon shiny. The green is very nice. Took about a day. I got that Saturday night. And then come Sunday, it's like, okay, let's take a breather. Let's just breed this Litwick up. I haven't bred a Litwick this generation. Just a random shiny, not even Masada method.
Ooh, and that's a really good shiny too.
Yeah, it is, because it's the orange flame.
Wonderful.
Man. You know, for all my shinies this generation, I've just been popping in that trades and raids chat in the Puckle Discord and getting into those shiny guys, you know? They are godsends, I swear.
The only shinies I got this generation so far were from hosted raids that someone was very kindly offering online, so...
I don't think I've caught raid shinies yet. The luckiest raid I've joined is like a random 6 IV Ditto one. So.
Oh, that's a good one, though.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's really cool.
Well, as for myself, since the last time I was on, I adopted two cats, which, yes...
What are their names?
Misha and Sasha McElroy, because I am a fandom queen. And And then I finally finished Breath of the Wild. Only took me, what, 2.5 years?
Oh, yeah. Really?
It's
cool.
A game that's as long as you want it to be.
Yeah, and and you couldn't have said that better, because afterwards I was like, well, I have like 5 other video games that I should finish. Ooh, let's start a Master Mode file. Because I hate myself, apparently.
Right.
And then...
I have never bought that DLC, so...
I ended up buying it. I don't even know why. It just happened one day. I don't remember my reasoning behind it. And then the very last thing I did lately was collect all of the Acrimi sweets. I was very offended when the guys on the last shows were like, oh, only Sigma will care about that. Excuse me? Sigma, let me ask you something. Do you have, and I believe you do, a complete collection of Vivillons?
I started one. I don't think I finished it, but I started a collection of Vivillons.
That is difficult.
See, I have one. So they should have known that this would be something of my interest as well. Anyway.
Even the special event Pokeball and then the friendship one?
I have those ones. I have those ones.
Ooh.
Yeah, wish they were breedable, but I do have them somewhere in my bank, which I need to get stuff off. Well, home is coming, so I'll be able to do that soon.
Yep, yep. I'm sure we'll mention that in the news, right?
Yeah, which I think we should be moving on to right now. So let's cue the usual epic music.
Town Radio Tower. This just in.
And in the news, there's actually a ton of stuff, including something very important that was left over from last week, because someone forgot. Pokemon has announced that on Pokemon Day, as part of the celebrations for this very important anniversary, a new mythical Pokemon is going to be revealed. We currently know nothing about this Pokemon whatsoever, unless you want to listen to some rumors of copyrighted names and leaks on, like, Reddit, but I wouldn't, personally.
Nah, it's not worth it.
Exactly.
And oftentimes with, like, mythical Pokemon, there's no way of knowing anything about the Pokemon based on its name alone.
Yeah.
Like, an exception would be, like, Victini, but, like, how do you... Yeah, piece together a V-shaped Pokemon just because it's called Victini, right?
I mean, you could have hints, but, you know, it's really not worth speculating about. Anyway, this Pokemon will star in the next Pokemon movie, Coco, and it will be available in Sword and Shield. This has been made very clear. What isn't quite clear is that as part of the celebration, there will also be a special max raid battle in Pokemon Sword and Shield. Are these connected? We don't know. We're not sure. Also, there's going to be a Pokemon Go event with the usual party hats on, you know, Pikachu, Eevee, the starters, and 7K eggs. And then Armored Mewtwo and clone Pokemon like clone Venusaur, Charizard, and Blastoise are going to be available in raids. Because apparently we really need to be reminded of that god-awful movie. And I'm not saying the first movie was awesome. Like, I'm talking about the new remake.
So there are clone versions of those Pokemon?
Yeah, you know, the ones from the first movie that...
What makes them any different from the normal?
They have those marks, remember?
They have little markings on them. They're slightly bigger,
dark.
I think.
Slightly bigger, maybe.
So cloned Pokemon are now canon in the games, too.
Yeah.
Yeah, Pokemon Go is bringing a lot of weird stuff into the game canon. Yeah.
All right.
And I thought this was very, very neat. There's also an event in which 2 extra Pokemon can be in raids with a chance to find them shiny. And it's Nidorino and Gengar in honor of the introduction to Pokemon Red and Blue.
I can hear the music now.
Right?
That's a cool choice. Good choice.
It was a very, very good touch. Anyway, Back to the present, because the wild area has just shifted the promoted raids. Milsuri is still here for another week, in case, unlike me, you haven't gotten all of the sweets you need yet.
I have the sweets. I don't have the Milsuris yet. We're working on it.
I don't want to make them all like G-Max. Like, I'm not as committed as that. But the other promoted Pokemon are gone, and we now have access, finally, it was something everyone was waiting for, apparently, G-Max Toxtricity. G-Max Toxtricity is going to be available in its amped up form in Pokemon Sword, and in its low-key form in Pokemon Shield. And something very, very cool is that apparently, as I learned from watching John Austin Play's video, G-Max Toxtricity, which, now that I think about it, everyone knew from the leaks, but I didn't, is actually the Pokemon in the Geoglyph in Turffield Town.
Mm-hmm.
Oh!
So, yeah, that mystery has been explained, finally, to, again, anyone who didn't look at the leaks. I guess there's, like, five of us left, but we're in the... on the joke now.
That's really cool.
Yeah, it's very, very cool. Which I guess explains, like, the statue in the other town. Because apparently, like, on the darkest day, G-Max Toxtricity was, you know, a big deal. And maybe it was so in other darkest days, thousands of years back. So the statue is from the most recent one. And the geoglyph is from maybe two or three darkest days ago, which I think is very cool.
Hmm.
Okay, let's move on because there's a lot of stuff. Also promoted in raids are Kingler and Grimmsnarl in Sword and Orbeetle and Hatterene in Shield. So go get those.
Oh, cool. Yep.
They're here for a month.
Yeah.
Did you happen to catch if the last iteration of Gigantamax Pokemon that were promoted are now in VGC?
Nope. At this point, I'm expecting them to be released in April because there's only like 1 month of elevated raids left to get all of the G-Max in the game. And that also puts it in line of switching from like Moon Season last year to Ultra Season last year was April, right? So that's what my expectation is at this point.
Mm. They might do two at once at this point.
All the G-Max legal at once.
Mm.
Yeah, it makes a lot of sense, actually.
Okay, I could see that.
So... in case you want to do those G-Max Toxtricity raids without killing everyone around you with Earthquake, don't be a jerk, you can use the code PUNKROCK, as usual, the O is actually a zero, because we don't want people to get confused, to get three copies of TR94, which is High Horse Power, and you can also use the code COMPETITION, as usual, the O is a zero and the I is a one, to get an extra ball cap in case your G-Max Toxtricity doesn't have the stats you needed.
Nice. I like these little extra codes that they just give out.
I love them.
Yeah, random BP, random bottle caps, great.
Yeah, the only not fun part is hearing Thatch trying to pronounce Super Efficace, but whatever. Then we need to mention this. The latest TCG set is releasing, but that was covered in the Puckle TCG cast just last Thursday, so check that out on Puckle Plus. And for another week or thereabouts, like until Valentine's Day, you can vote for the Pokemon of the Year, which will be celebrated on Pokemon Day. You can vote once a day, separately, for each generation. You can pick your favorite Pokemon from all of them, and Meltan and Metal are included in Galar and Co., which made Joe go a bit crazy, but that's a long story for another time. And the thing is, you can vote by going on Google and Googling Pokemon Vote. This didn't work for me on mobile, so you might need to do it from a desktop PC. And also, if you have a heart, please do not vote for Charizard. We do not need more Charizard in our hearts. We do not need more Charizard in our world. Please, I'm begging. This has been a fluffiest, whimsical TSA. Thank you.
Do vote for Water Charizard, though. We are fine with Greninja. Get Ash Greninja back into the game.
Do we really want that?
Yes.
Like, do you really want to let Ash Greninja run rampant in Battle Stadium Singles with Dynamax?
It wasn't legal last time it was in Battle Stadium Singles. Battle Bond was a banned ability. It would only affect Smogon. It's fine.
I guess. I'll trust you that that's not an absolutely terrible idea.
Bring him back.
So, in Masters news, there's a Dragon-type event going on. Something with Iris and Claire, and I do not play Masters, but Sigma can tell you more about it.
The new training events. You unlock levels for their sync moves, which also expands their spear grids as well, which allows you to customize them.
Okay.
I have no idea what any of that means.
I understood about 40% of that, but I was pretending to understand. Thank you, Scron, for ruining that for me. And then on Valentine's Day, they know what the people want. And on Valentine's Day, we got Steven with Metagross.
There's also something about Professor Oak coming too, but...
Yeah, there's a silhouette somewhere, but that hasn't been cleared up yet, so...
There's a commercial, too.
Did you know that I have a coffee mug with Steven's face on it?
Oh.
He's a popular character for a reason.
Get on my level, Whimsicott.
I should get one with N on it. Anyway.
Oh, no, get one with N with the Animal Crossing villager's face plastered over N on it.
No.
Oh, no. Terrible, terrible Discord memes that I do. Oh my god.
Oh gosh. Anyway, it cannot be a new segment without more Pokemon Go news. Rhyhorn is the winner of the Pokemon Day the Community Day vote for the 22nd of February. I guess the voting was a bit weird because you couldn't really find all of the Pokemon in all the biomes, but whatever, Rhyhorn won. And on February 22nd, you get 3x catch Stardust, 3-hour lures, and when you evolve Rhydon into Rhyperior, it gets the move Rock Wrecker. Also, there's new boxes in the game and new shadow Pokemon, but there's quite a lot of them, and I'm not going to list them off because this segment is already very long. I will just say there is a very interesting tidbit about Pokemon Go. The Battle League Season 1 is going on or about to start. I don't remember. That's why it was in maintenance like the other day. And if you participate, you can get Pikachu Libre in Pokemon Go, which I think is extremely cool. Also, I guess Shiny Riolu and Hippopotas are available. I guess Shiny Riolu was already... I don't know. Anyway, they're here. The event is ending today, if you're listening to the show as it comes out. But you can still find the Shinies afterwards. Was that all? Did we make it?
I think
we escaped Pokemon Go time. Yeah.
Woo!
There was a lot of news this week, so we're not sure if we are missing something. But hopefully we didn't. And feel free to complain about it in the mailbag.
Please don't.
I think we miss things, but they're things that are happening in weeks that we'll announce them when there's less news. So, yay.
Yeah, that works for me. I just want to move on to the quiz. So, yeah, let's do that. We're going to move on to Puckle's Poke Quiz, where I am going to quiz my fellow co-hosts on their absolutely insane Pokemon knowledge. Welcome to Puckle's PokeQ Quiz, where, as mentioned, we quiz the co-hosts on their insane Pokemon knowledge. These questions are brought to us by the wonderful people in our Discord server, curated by our lovely friend Ribby. So, I guess don't blame me if the questions are very, very hard, guys. I don't think they are, but...
We know who to blame.
Exactly. I'm gonna specifically mention them by name, one by one. So you know who to get mad at.
Oh, very nice. Yeah, I love that.
Let's see if this person is currently either a Microsoft Office suite or a Nook of some type.
Or, you know, both in the span of a weekend. I've seen that happen. Anyway, the quiz works as follows. There are 5 questions. Each question is worth a point, except for the one question that is worth 2 or more points, usually 2. The guys have a hint that they can use. If they do not use the hint and get at least 1 point for each of the 5 questions, at the end of the game, they can cash in that hint for an extra point, for a total possible maximum of 7 points. And they are cooperating today as a team, but all of the co-hosts, myself included, are competing to be the first to reach 30 points at the end of the cycle of trivia. The trivia is, as usual, offered by AnimeGravy.com, the one-stop shop for everything anime, nerdy, D&D, and just plain amazing, just as the gravies are.
They've got some pretty cool Pokemon prints over there, so go check them out.
Oh, they do.
Yeah. So in case you're wondering what they're all about and why they're sponsoring us, yeah, you should definitely check it out.
Well, they're sponsoring us because they're awesome, and we love them, and they love us, but...
That too.
Anyway, are you guys ready to start the quiz?
Yep. Yeah.
All right, our first question comes from the Boy Guard of War. And it's the answer is a number. I'm going to give you a plus or minus one on this one.
Okay.
How many type combinations are only used by legendary or mythical Pokemon?
Okay, that's actually not awful.
Okay. All right.
Nothing from Gen 1.
Fire, Psychic, no, not that. I had Victini in my mind for a reason. It's not that.
Gen 2, nothing.
It's not just flying anymore because there's Corvisquire.
Gen 3, do we have another Psychic Dragon yet?
No.
Okay, so that's one.
What about Ground Flying? No, that's Gliscor. Okay.
Do we have another Fire Steel yet?
Fire Steel, I don't believe so.
I don't believe so either, so there's another one.
Okay, what about Grass Fighting?
That's a Breloom.
Okay, yeah, that's right.
Let's see. Anything else in Gen 4?
What about Rock Fighting?
Rock Fighting?
Yeah, because we have Terrakion, but I don't think anything else.
I want to say that's still exclusive, so sure.
Okay. We just need to go through each gen. Gen 1's easy. Gen 2...
Yeah, Gen 1's gone. Gen 2's gone. Gen 3 is Psychic Dragon. Gen 4 has Fire Steel. I think we have a new Dragon Steel now, so that's not special anymore. We have a new Dragon Ghost now. That's not special anymore. Dragon Electric.
The only one is Zekrom.
Okay, so there you go. That's another one.
Dragon Fire would be Turtonator.
Do we have Dragon Ice?
Yeah.
Okay, that's another one.
Wait, no, we don't.
Yeah, so that's 4. Ghost Psychic, I think, is special still.
Okay.
With Lunala, so.
Okay, so 5. Steel Psychic?
We have a million of those.
Oh, yeah, we do.
Well, we have Metagross, and that's all we need. So.
And then Gen 8, Pure Fighting, Pure Fairy, and then whatever Eternatus. Oh, Eternatus is unique.
Yes, because we don't have so poison 6 ones anyway.
And honestly, I'd say tack on another one just as a safety measure. So let's say 7.
Okay, that sounds good to me. I don't think we're counting Ultra Beasts, right?
Yeah, that is a...
Oh, wait, we have a Marshadow, too.
Okay, Marshadow, so let's do 8. Are Ultra Beasts included as legendaries here, Whimsicott? Do you know?
No.
Okay.
Okay, because, like, half of them would be it on this list.
No, they're not included. So your answer is 8?
Yes.
Wait, Volcanion's a thing too.
Oh, Volcanion.
Up at 1.
Okay, 9.
Okay, 9 is no longer within the margin of error, guys. I'm very sorry. The correct answer is 7.
Oh.
Because you forgot that Dragon Electric is Mega Ampharos.
That's not a Pokemon anymore.
That is a good defense. That's exactly the type of legal defense I'd expect.
Megas are technically not around anymore, so.
Yeah, and then I will admit I completely missed the second one that you bungled. So the ones I have are Volcanion, Firewater, Fire Steel for Heatran, Ice Dragon for Kyurem, Fighting Rock for Terrakion, Fighting Ghost for Marshadow, Psychic Ghost for Lunala, Hoopa, and Duskwing Necrozma, and Psychic Dragon for Latios, Latias, and Necrozma. That's it.
That was tough because, yeah.
Wait, was Eternatus on that list? Yeah.
No.
Oh, because there's a poison, yeah, no. There's Skralp, Dragalge.
Yep, Dragalge. Yep.
He's forgettable if you're not on the PTU cast, so it's fine.
Sorry. You almost had it, and then you had to think of something else. Anyway.
Thanks for rubbing it in. Jeez.
Yeah. Stupid Volcanion. Why do we have to remember you existed?
Honestly, yeah. I wish I could forget it exists, too. Anyway, question number two. This one is from Lord Snorlax. What type has the most Pokemon that evolve via trade?
Bug is probably up there.
Fighting. Yeah, Girder, Machoke.
You have Girder, Machamp. Bug, you have Scizor and those two Gen 5 bugs.
Yeah. I think that's it, though.
Rock is up there. Rock is a big one.
Yeah, Rock, because you got...
Rock, you have three automatically, too.
Okay, Graveler, Boldore.
Onix.
Oh, Rhydon. Okay, so yeah, it's probably Rock.
Yeah, Rock is up there, unless there's more fairies than I can think of. Because there's at least the two Gen 6 fairies that evolve through trade items.
I don't think they're going to be on competitive level with Rock.
Normal is something, but yeah, it's...
Let's just say Rock.
Sure.
Okay, so I have a different answer here. But please list those off again for me.
Onix, Rhydon.
Boldore, and Graveler.
And Alolan Graveler, if we want to count that.
Yeah, it still doesn't make the cut, because Water has Politoed, Kingdra, Slowking, Milotic, Huntail, and Gorbis.
Oh yeah, stupid Clamperl.
Yeah, I mean... The question does state evolve via trade, so if you want to say, oh, you shouldn't have counted Clamperl twice, I will tell you, you shouldn't have counted Graveler twice. So,
that's right.
No.
I love that.
What a win. I'm sorry. I'm going to be a very tough host today.
Come on, give us half a point. It's one of our only chances.
No. There's gonna be a redemption point that you can get later.
Feedback is only half the time.
All right. Question number three, as usual, is a Pokédex entry question. This one has been selected by Disco Calypso. Its Pokémon Sword entry reads: its resilient tusks are its pride and joy. It licks up dirt to take in the minerals it needs to keep its tusks in top condition.
Is that like Piloswine?
Could be Piloswine. I was thinking Donphan is an option, too.
I don't see Donphan licking things, though. I'd see that from a pig, you know?
Sure. We'll give you Piloswine, then. You're not wrong. A pig does sound like it's going to be eaten.
Takes in necessary minerals. Tusks. How many things have tusks, even?
I mean, unless you think it's going to be like Copper Aja, but I don't think that thing can reach the ground, so it's fine.
Very good point, actually.
It looks tall.
I mean, it would like scoop up the dirt in its, you know, nose. Anyway.
Yeah, so let's go with our boy Piloswine.
Mm-hmm. Oh, gosh, guys, I thought this one was going to be easy. There's a Pokemon where every single Pokedex entry talks about its tusks, and it's Axorus.
It licks the ground. What?
What? I don't mean.
He has tiny T-Rex arms. It can't reach. It has to like bend down and lick the ground.
Why is it licking the ground?
That was a hard. How do you expect that from Haxorus? Okay,
sorry.
I get it. No, all these questions have been fair enough. It's fine. You know, it's early in the morning for us.
Haxorus is so late in the Dex. I stopped reading Dex entries by that point.
All right, okay. You have a chance for a redemption point here, and I will remind you, you guys still have the hint, and you cannot cash it in. So, this question also comes from Lord Snorlax. The lowest weight a Pokemon can have is 0.1 kilograms, which for you Yankees is 2 pounds. What are the 5 Pokemon that are registered to have this weight? You get 1 point for each two you tell me, and you get 3 points if you get all 5 of them.
So I'm just going to throw this out here right now. Five Flabebes don't count, right?
No, it's just one Flabebe, but Flabebe is correct.
I think it's like Ghastly Haunter.
Yes, yes.
Well, yeah, Nebby, I think, is there.
Yes.
I don't know number five.
So what are we up to?
You are up to four, so 2 points. And if you give him the fifth, you get a third point.
Joltik?
Sure.
Nope.
She's been doing it as a name off basis. Let's see.
Like, what else is gas?
Right.
Literal gas.
You guys still don't want a hint, I suppose.
Yeah, why not?
It's a hint for this question or the next. It's one of the two.
And the next is a base stat question, and one of you is our Sigma.
Yeah. Sure. Give us the hint.
Excuse me?
I expect you to get lore about Pokemon, and I expect Sigma to get base stats. But, I mean, you guys both know both, so that was a bit unfair. You're right. Sorry.
To go cry.
Okay. Tell you what. Later on, off the air, we're going to do a round of Fuchsia City Feud, and you can make me eat Krauscron.
Oh, man.
I mean, we are talking about low base stats, so Scron might actually know it better. But
I'd rather just make you drink Sprite Cranberry and watch your face.
So, yeah, let's use the hint here. Let's.
Thank you.
This is the worst I've ever done in a trivia section. I deserve to have some fun, okay? Okay.
The hint is gas is very light, but so is paper.
Oh, so it's Kartana. Cool.
Yes! Good job.
You know, you'd think the steel type would add a little more to it.
But it's a fake steel type. It's just a little origami samurai.
Yeah, but it cuts power lines.
Paper has a very high cutting power.
Apparently.
Anyone who's ever gotten a paper cut. Paper cut! That's the name of my Kartana.
Did any of you go to school, like, you know, in grade school with kids who would just, like, cut themselves with paper for fun?
No. No, I did not have any of those.
Okay, well.
Were you one of those kids?
No, I was not one of them, but I did interact with such children.
All right. You guys are 3-4-4, which isn't that terrible.
It's better than it was before this question.
We're gonna move. I mean, the past is in the past. Anyway, the last question is from Liger. And it is actually not a lowest base stat question. It is, what grass type has the highest base HP?
Oh, okay.
Something big. Like Torterra, maybe? It's like a starting.
For some reason, I don't think it's a starter.
I don't think it's Torterra, no. But, like, it worked up from there.
Does Torterra have more than Meganium?
Actually, no. I'd say Meganium replaced that. What about legendaries? There aren't many legendary grass types.
At least they're guaranteed to have 100. Both of them.
I mean, that's Celebi.
And Shaymin.
Like, oh, Mega Venusaur, right?
Which is the same as a Venusaur, change. But sure.
Yeah, it doesn't change. But I'd say Meganium probably has more.
Tropius might have a lot.
That's true.
Grass types are not good. Tangrowth has a lot.
Does it?
I feel like it's got like a high HP.
I thought it just had a really high defense stat.
It has high defense. It has like everything except speed and special defense.
What about more megas? Any other mega?
No megas would count because it's HP.
Oh, right. That's right.
Megas are irrelevant. I don't think Appleton's up there.
Ooh, maybe. No, maybe. I don't know. That's a hard one.
I'm going to need an answer pretty soon here, guys.
I can tell you for sure it's not Kartana.
Yeah. So,
no.
I'll let you go with this one.
No. I insist you.
Okay, Meganium.
Okay, Meganium is incorrect, guys. I'm so sorry.
Fantastic. You know? Fantastic.
Sorry. The highest base HP of all grass types is good little old Go-Goat, It has 123 base HP.
I don't feel bad about forgetting Go-Goat.
Right? It's famous as Pokemon. I mean,
I don't feel bad about forgetting Go-Goat or anything involved with it.
To all of you wonderful Puckalonians who partake in the writing of questions in the Poke Quiz channel, I hope you're happy. This week you got what you wanted.
Yeah, they definitely stamped the coast, although I do think the early morning hour was doing most of the stamping. Anyway.
To be fair, I probably wouldn't have guessed Go-Goat or Fracture? Haxorus?
Haxorus licking the ground is just an...
Yeah, right? I'm never going to guess that. That was not the early morning.
Anyway, that does move the standings around. Because even with just 3 points, Sigma is moving up the ladder to second place. Linian is in first place with 12 points. Sigma is now following with 8. Me, myself, and I, and also Dr. Shamu are behind him with 6 points. Sublime, Seth Vilo, and Jushiro, and P. McGee are the 5-point squad.
Oh, please don't and tell Scrawn, me. No.
Scrawn has 3, and bringing up the rear, very last one so far is Basket, who still has to get on the board. Does that make you feel better, Scrum?
No, because he hasn't had a chance yet, and it's not fair. This was sabotage from R Sigma, is what it was.
This Poke Quiz has been absolutely disastrous. They gave me a choice of 2 questions for each question, and I evidently did a terrible job picking. I apologize. We really need to get to something cheerier and move on to our topics.
Hey guys, Seth Vilo cutting in to tell you about something awesome that I've been absolutely loving, Vite Ramen. If you guys know me, you know I have a borderline noodle addiction, and part of that love has always been a guilty pleasure for ramen. Well, Vite Ramen is ramen, but get this, it's actually good for you. You heard me right. The guys at Vite Ramen have spent years making ramen that's nutritionally complete, and I absolutely adore it. Each bowl has 30 grams of protein, which is more than your average protein shake, 7 grams of fiber, all 27 key vitamins and minerals that you need, and most importantly, tons of awesome flavor. Oh yeah, and did I mention it still only takes 4 minutes to prepare? It's basically still instant ramen. You can head over to viteramen.com and pick up soy sauce chicken, garlic pork, and my favorite, vegan miso flavors, as well as handy utensils and other such stuff. And here is the coolest part. At checkout, enter code PUCKLE, and you'll get 10% off your entire order. That's P-U-C-L, all caps, for a whopping 10% off. Anyway, I gotta get back to rating, and you've got a show to finish. Catch you guys on the flip-flop.
And welcome to today's topic. Now, for today's topic, I wanted to go into a little discussion about, is Pokemon now what you would call a living game? Because for the longest time, Pokemon was just sitting there in its little cart, and every now and then you would get an event. I guess the most dynamic Pokemon has been, until now, was back in 2016, where you got a different mythical each month.
That was a fun time.
But now we're getting DLC. We're getting weekly events, pretty much. And it feels very different from what it was before. Now, I personally have not played a lot of video games besides Pokemon. But I know you guys have. And do you think Pokemon is like changing in a way that is lining up with other games that, you know, are comparable in terms of availability and interest? Do you think Pokemon is doing its own thing? How much do you think has actually changed from the past? Like, is it just a different rhythm or is it a different concept altogether? And also, I see a lot of influence from Go in this.
Okay. Yeah. I can see that.
I don't disagree with that.
I would 100% say that Pokemon Go is a living game. In this regard, I'm using a 2-factor test where the first factor is, can you expect updates constantly in the game? Mm-hmm. And two, does it actively change the content of that game? Now, that second factor is really what we're concerned about. Like with Go, we're constantly seeing things be revitalized with that new content, and like things in the game are changing forever. And this is something that people have come to expect. Probably the most common living games out there are battleground style games. So we're thinking like League of Legends, Fortnite, you know, but that's very different from Pokemon fundamentally. And Pokemon is a JRPG where we haven't really seen this before. At least I haven't. Maybe R Sigma can offer notes of a JRPG that is in fact a living game that constantly changes, where the developers are putting out new content because they found that to be their best strategy in terms of selling the game.
I'm not sure there is that's not an MMO, if that makes sense. Like Final Fantasy 14, from what I've heard, is kind of like that, but that's more of an MMO than it is like a living game.
Yeah, right? And, you know, that's what's so unique about Pokemon. It's like, how do you make a JRPG a living game? You know, at this point, I would say that the second factor of do these updates actively change the gameplay is coming closer to a yes. As of right now, it's about a no, but with the DLC announcement, I would say it's most certainly becoming a yes, because it's changing the gameplay. You know?
I mean, even right now, the release of these Gigantamaxes, especially the ones that aren't even in the game, feel a lot closer. Like, we're moving towards that model.
I would argue that as far as gameplay goes, if you, you know, forget about Move Tutors for a moment, this, you know, updates to the wild area are actually bringing more content than an entire second half of a generation did with Ultra Sun and Ultra Moon, which is insane if you think about it. Like, the difference in, you know, models, where whether you want to call it a business model or something else, is astounding to me. And it felt very sudden. And I don't know if it's because Gen 7 was a bit of a low point where this kind of thing is concerned, or if it's because they decided, you know what, we need like a clean slate. The possibilities that we have on the Switch are so much more than the possibilities we had on the 3DS. So why not go for it like 200%, you know?
I mean, sure. Also a lot of it is, I think many fans just play through the game once and then stop. And
yes.
They don't want that to be how you play Pokemon anymore.
Exactly.
So it's a lot more exciting this way.
And I think it's fascinating to think about it this way because, you know, before, in order to replay a Pokemon game, you essentially had to buy it again if you wanted to keep your old save file. Mm-hmm. Now you can have pretty much infinite save files from the same copy of the game. Mm-hmm. And they are somewhat encouraging you to keep playing the same save file over and over and over again. Like, is it that they want to make you forget that you don't have to buy a second copy again? Or is it just that they've given up on that because they know it's not going to work anyway, so you might as well keep Pokemon relevant in a different way?
I think it's just them changing with the times. For a long time, they were staying stagnant, for what it felt. Like, Mega's really pushed things, and the physical special split really flipped things. But a lot of it was stagnation.
Yeah.
Like, the most maybe before was, like, a mystery gift with a new mythical Pokemon, you know?
Exactly.
Which everyone expected.
Exactly.
It was never a surprise.
Yeah, and it didn't really change things for people, you know?
Yeah, I mean, data mining took most of the surprise away. And now that they can just patch stuff in, that's no longer the case. So I suppose that helps. Yeah.
Like Galarian Slowpoke. No one saw that coming.
Honestly, no. And it's so much fun.
Even if they were like, yeah, they're announcing DLC. No one would have expected, like, hey, look, it's a Galarian Slowpoke today. Mm-mm. In the game. It's like, wow.
Yeah, that was one of the things that kind of threw me. I'm not used to that, playing pretty much just Pokemon. And you say they're, you know, they're catching up with the times, but I asked you before, so do all the other, you know, very famous, very popular games do this? And the answer was no, just some of them. Yeah. So Yeah, they are catching up with the times for sure, but the way they're doing it, like so hardcore and so fast, is, as you said, extremely reminiscent of Pokemon Go.
Mm-hmm.
So is it like, did they just look at Pokemon Go and say, this is a business model that works, like it racks in huge amounts of money.
Keeps consumer interest as well.
Exactly. Like maybe someone will drop off for a month, but other five people will keep playing every single day. And then when one of them drops off, the other person comes back because there's an event for their favorite Pokemon in Pokemon Go.
Mm-hmm. I feel like they could probably speed those events up. Like Magikarp is great.
Well,
the New Year's Magikarp.
If I may contribute, something very prevalent with living games, as it were, is that they are often free to the public. I see this again and again, but like the priced content, and they release this usually concurrent with more updates of the game or different seasons in the game are like skins or, you know, aesthetic things that you can buy with real world money. Mm-hmm. And that makes the content free for everybody else. But with Pokemon, we're seeing that this DLC will cost you money no matter what. There is no free option. Obviously, you can get all the Pokemon, which is nice. But you have to pay in order to get this DLC. And that's something that you see, you know, the most people get upset about because, you know, there are a lot of kids using their parents' money, you know, and it's a pain to have to ask them, hey, can I, you know, have $30 for this game I already own, right?
But you are right. Like, most living games are kind of freemium or thereabouts, and Pokemon is a console game, which is apparently borrowing some of the business model of a freemium mobile game, which I guess can be a little confusing.
Yeah, and, you know, using my past experience as a GameStop manager, like, AAA titles, honestly, like, where it's just the one release of a game, they're becoming really, really rare. Like, pretty much every game has DLC in some respect, or developers are releasing these AAA games and they're not completely finished. You know, it's almost disappointing in a way. I feel like we've gone from this era where a finished game was a finished game, and now developers are just more in a rush to release it, and then, hey, well, we'll fix it later with more promises, and then you're ending up paying, you know, 50% more than what you would have paid if you had just bought a completed one.
I mean, yeah, I guess this could apply to Sword and Shield as well, but
I don't think it does, you know?
No.
In this case, I think that Pokemon Sword and Shield were, for the most part, completed. Like, 90%. Completed.
Oh, I would agree with that. I would think that some people would argue that that's not true, though.
I feel like they could have done better with the story.
Yeah, definitely.
Okay, the story for sure.
the story had room for improvement.
it is a Pokemon game. I mean, it has about as much story as any other Pokemon game. It's the pacing that gives it like a giant hole from the middle to the end.
There's just also the CG art just randomly in the climax of the game. And
yes.
that shouldn't be a thing. So it didn't match with anything else in the game.
I guess that's one of the things where like they had either an experimental thought or it was some kind of model that they did not brush up to match with the rest of the game because they ran out of time.
Yeah, it feels like it could have had a few months left.
Yeah. But, you know, since everyone, you know, had comments about Sword and Shield not looking very polished, #trees, but they always knew that the DLC was coming. We didn't. Mm-hmm. And it's interesting to me that they didn't tell us up front, we are turning Pokemon into this kind of game. They just did it. They dropped the stone in the pond and they watched the ripples. And I don't know how I feel about that. Because
Oh my god, like a picture of a laughing Sakurai like appeared in my mind, you know, just like overlooking the disgruntled masses with joy in his eyes.
I mean, his games usually like people love the DLC for his
Sakurai.
Games.
Not Sakurai. Right.
You mean Masuda.
Masuda, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know, like, how much Masuda has a hand into the global business decisions of the Pokemon Company. Maybe that would be Mr. Hishihara. I don't know. But it feels very weird, but it feels very good. But there are some things about a static game that are just lost in this kind of model. Like, people who, say, my brother and sister don't have a Switch yet. Mm-hmm. And their birthdays are in April, and they're like angling to ask for, you know, a birthday present, and it might be a Switch, especially for my brother. And suppose they start playing in April, they miss out on stuff, like on raid events and codes and distributions. Mm-hmm. And that used to happen with Pokemon before, of course, but it was never as bad as this. Like, every week you miss is something you miss now.
But you can just trade for that later on. That's kind of a difference with a lot of you know, living games, per se. You do have this content that
FOMO
is time locked.
Feel of missing out. You're just trying to get the customers to buy earlier.
So yeah. You could say the same thing in Pokemon Go, but...
Oh, yeah. Yeah. 100% Pokemon Go is freemium, time-locked, living game, although a bit frustrating, you know?
But with happy RNG.
Right. The point of Pokemon Go is to get a select few people who are obsessed with the game to spend money, and then have everyone else be players so that those people who are spending money are more comfortable and feel like there's a living community in the game. Mm. That's the reality about it.
It is.
Yeah, but I mean, console Pokemon can never turn into a freemium game like Pokemon Go. It's always going to be a console game because it's a console seller.
What if it was a freemium game? Like, what would that look like? Like, free DLC, but pay $15 and you get this, you know, set of clothes for your
character. I think you have far too many children playing for that to be a viable business model for Pokemon.
But yeah. The people who you sell that kind of stuff to, like, I mean, I name drop Thatch here because he knows what he is. like, he'd buy everything, you know?
I might buy something. I might decide not to buy anything. Like, I only usually pay for one freemium game, and it's Pokemon Go, and I don't pay for aesthetic stuff in that. Mm-hmm. And I'm one who really appreciates aesthetics. Like, I spent an entire day battling and rebattling the league in Pokemon Sun just so I could have that super swag outfit at the very end, you know. Mm-hmm. So if you lose someone like me, who has thrown a lot of money at the Pokemon Company during her life, I think you would lose a lot of other people.
I think there are enough Pokemon fans in their 20s and 30s at this point that have no lives who would drop a whole lot of money on being able to cosplay as Cynthia in their game. That's all I'm saying.
I mean, it's a possibility, but... They're also not buying the other outfits, though. It's like, you buy the ones you care about.
When I saw the sale figures for Sword and Shield, I was like, dang, these games sold a whole lot. Even with the Dexit boycott, you know, it's a lot of copies. And Switch games are very expensive. Mm-hmm. So I don't see them moving away from having, like, a main console game... Essentially, until Nintendo moves away from consoles. And who knows when that will ever happen. I mean, I don't see that happening in the next, like, 15 years, at least.
No.
But going back to the beginning, what do you guys personally think about the new feel of Pokemon? And where do you see it going?
You know, I like it. I think that more content in a game is good. I think it's going to kind of, you know, be jarring for people who want to go back and play the game as if they've never played it before, because essentially you're dropping $90 on a complete game. You know, like, it's nice, and I'm sure they'd enjoy it, but, like, that is quite a bit for, you know, the average, you know,
yeah, you're right.
American in our
there's a bit of a steep entry.
There's a point where they probably will put out a game with the DLC already on it. And so, here, pay $60, you get the DLC with it, too.
Like,
they do that for other games all the time.
Also, like, to take into consideration, what about, like, 2 decades from now, when they're probably shutting down Switch servers, how are you going to get the DLC on a, you know, a console if it's not already downloaded?
I mean, that's a problem that games have had for how long now?
Since
the original Xbox?
But, like, games like on cartridge from the DS or Game Boy era, you can always have those, you know, the full game.
I mean, there are some DLCs to those games that prevent you. Imagine getting X and Y and not having access to the patch that gets you to save in Lumio City. Like, that's an actual thing.
You're right. You're absolutely right. I guess one thing you could say about this is that as we move on, there are more and more and more and more and more and more games available. Like, the market is expanding in a way that we would have considered crazy. Like, I remember, like, in the 90s. You don't remember the 90s, guys, probably, but I remember the 90s.
Vaguely. I was born in 90, I know.
Okay, fair enough.
I can remember the later 90s.
So, back then, buying a single video game was a big deal because they cost a lot of money compared to, you know, the income of a family. So the Super Nintendo didn't have the kind of number of games available on it that the Nintendo Switch does. And it was like one of how many consoles? And now you throw in PC gaming and like the number of games, even, you know, allowing for the fact that like 80% of the market out there is duds, is crazy. So maybe they don't care as much because they'll just say, yeah, but we have like about 2,000 other games you could buy with your money. So instead of, you know, fixating yourself on having that one game from 2013 with the patch, like, I understand it's Pokemon, but now the Pokemon that are in there are catchable in like 7 other mainstream games. So why do you want it?
Sure. No, I see.
I don't like this, but I can see them thinking this way.
I mean, that's how a lot of games operate these days, though, is that they want people to just keep coming back to their game ecosystem. And, like, that's how Pokemon's catching up, too. Just trying to draw those players in. It's like, just play our game and have, like, 2 or 3 games that you focus on instead of all of the games, which is fine. And Pokemon's a game series that can do that.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's very fair. It's very fair. But Pokemon is also a game series in which somebody who buys Sword and Shield today might say, oh, you know what? I really like this type of gameplay. And unlike 95% of other games out there, the gameplay in Pokemon has been the same since the very beginning. So I might want to check them all out. And wait, a used copy of Soul Silver is worth how much? No thanks. You know? So I don't like there being a barrier for entry for Pokemon games because it is the one series of games in which we don't care that much about the graphics. We don't care that much about even color. Think about that. We just like the Pokemon and how they play. And they've been doing essentially the same thing for over 20 years now. So I might want to play them all. I don't know. I think this is like a positive for me, definitely a positive, because I am one of those people who would finish a game and then maybe, you know, make a team for the UTC. And then maybe every now and then when I want something mindless to do, since I can't knit, I will breed another competitive Pokemon. But then I would just put them down. And now I find I have a lot of trouble putting them down because, yeah, I didn't play for maybe a couple weeks and then, oh my gosh, I need those all creamy sweets. I need them. Like, I need them. You know? And that's going to happen again with something else, I'm sure. So,
yeah, I had that, you know, phase with UB Funkies way back when, where I was trying to collect them all because they were going out of business.
Oh, yeah, I remember. I remember this.
They were the first plug-and-play style game which, you know, arguably was a living game, so it fits in, fits in our topic.
Fair enough.
Obviously, they didn't succeed, but that doesn't mean that others have succeeded, you know.
Yeah, I guess my only worry here is that, you know, I'm old, very old, and I got a lot of stuff to do in my life. And I don't ever want my favorite game to turn into something where I feel like I'm not playing the game right, or I'm missing out on too much if I can't play for like 3 weeks in a row. And the rhythm of games and the rhythm of living games has been, you know, scaling up constantly over the years because, you know, people have shorter attention spans, they have smartphones, just gotta keep them busy, 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 busy. And I guess I like this, but my only fear is I don't ever want my favorite game to outrun me too badly.
Sure.
Luckily, like, most of the events are things that are just higher odds than usual, but you can still get to them in-game.
Yeah, I appreciate
that. Like, the only things that have been unique are Snorlax and Toxtricity so far. And hopefully they're in the DLC, so we don't have to worry about that as much. Or that tree. Or that tree lets us make anything gigantic, which also would help.
Oh, I would love that.
I hope that's a thing, but we'll see. Yeah. Only a few more months.
Yeah.
Hopefully they're in dens in the DLC, if nothing else.
Hopefully.
So they'll still be accessible.
Fingers crossed. You know what? On this hopeful note, I think we can close out our topic and move on to our Pokemon of the episode. We'll be right back. Catch you on the flip-flop.
Episode.
And welcome to the Pokemon of the episode, which today is Pokedex number 812, Rillaboom, the drummer Pokemon.
By drumming, it taps into the power of its special tree stump. The roots of the stump follow its direction in battle. I feel like there's some really cool animation potential there, you know? Like in the anime and stuff.
Yeah, some creepiness as well, which I wouldn't expect from Mr. Ringo Starr here, but...
You know, one day someone will catch a Grookey in that anime. And not Dragonites anymore, or random other Pokemon. I think someone caught a Dewgong recently. Good old Dewgong.
Honestly, the only thing I saw about the anime lately was Ash and Go wondering, why does Dragonite look so different from its pre-evolutions and... Like, it only took them, 23 years to start questioning them? Guys, please. Anyway, we have a Battle Stadium singles team featuring Rillaboom here for you guys. And I'm going to start it off with the star himself. Ooh, I made a pun there. I love myself. Rillaboom is holding an assault vest. It has the ability overgrow because it gets stuck with that for another while. It has 204 HP, max attack, 4 defense, 4 special defense, and 44 speed.
That's a really specific set.
Yeah.
I mean, it lets it outspeed uninvested Rotoms for the most part. Like that.
Oh, that is very important.
Yeah. It's naturally 1 point lower than a Rotom.
Okay.
Well, I want to know why there are 4 defense and 4 special defense points. Like, someone is really, really particular about what that would help it survive.
To be fair, at level 50, you sacrifice like 1 point of one stat to put 2 points in another stat.
Yeah, pretty much.
So it just kind of is nice to do sometimes when you don't need it.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So Rillaboom is adamant, and it's got the moves Drum Beating, Knock Off, which is a rare commodity these days, Super Power, and U-Turn.
I like that a lot. Wow.
I love that as well.
It's... to the point and powerful.
Yep.
Yes. Rillaboom is accompanied by our little baby penguin, Ice Cube. Ice Cube obviously has the ability Ice Face. It's holding a citrus berry, because Ice Face. It has max attack, 4 defense, max speed, jolly nature, you want that penguin to slide fast. It's got Icicle Spear, Head Smash, Zen Headbutt, and Belly Drum.
Just imagining an Ice Cube smashing its head on the ground.
Probably does. Have you seen how much it weighs?
Oh. Yeah. And I love that, like, they're a drumming duo. This team is already amazing in my book.
Yeah, and Ice Cube is your main Dynamax target as well.
Oh yeah, definitely, with that head smash.
Well, the thing is, you can set the hail to get your head back.
Exactly.
And then you can use head smash to get rid of the hail, so you can do it again third turn.
Yeah, amazing.
Good times with the Ice Cube.
Okay, Sigma, go on.
Yeah, next up we have Crawdaunt with a Focus Sash and the Adaptability ability, because that thing is super powerful with it. Its EVs are Max Attack Adamant with enough speed to speed tie up neutral Corviknight for some reason, and then the rest goes into HP.
That's 92 speed and 164 HP.
Yeah. It uses Crab Hammer, Knock Off, because, like we said, Knock Off, rare commodity, and on adaptability, it hurts real hard. Aqua Jet, yes. And for some reason this generation, Crawdaunt got Close Combat.
Because it needed something else. Oh, jeez. We love our
Crawdaunt. I don't know why we give Pokemon Close Combat, and Crawdaunt is, like, the most suspect of these Close Combat getters. But
yeah.
Crawdaunt hits hard, and with the Focus Sash, it should survive most things as long as you're not getting, like, hit by a Cloyster. So
yeah, just be careful not to, you know, use it after you set your weather, either of them, with Ice Cube.
Yeah. Next up, we have Rotom with those choice specs. We have 20 speed, 252 special attack modest, because we're maxing out that special attack with these specs, and the rest goes into HP, which is like a 236. Attacks are Discharge, Overheat, Trick to get those Toxapex out of there, and a Volt Switch.
So basically the set on every Rotom Heat.
Well, the one I use is not like that.
Yeah, item and trick changers around, but
yeah.
Okay, so now with the pivot and the powerhouses of the team out of the way, we're into the tank area where we have Snorlax. We're using a Figgy Berry and an Adamant Nature to complement that. It has the ability Gluttony, because why not? And I'm assuming this is Gigantamax Snorlax here.
It could
most
be.
Most certainly. Like,
you don't lose anything with it because you're running a Berry and Gluttony.
So 252 attack, 252 defense, and 4 speed. You're kind of using the Rillaboom as special defense tank, although this team does lack a dedicated specially defensive tank. This is the physical tank. So you're using Yawn, Body Slam, Heavy Slam, and Thunder Punch for coverage. So that's like the pivotal tank. You're probably going to bring this to a lot of games that you expect to see more drawn out.
Yep, and Yawn is just super annoying.
Yes.
And currently the only special attacker we have on this team was Rotom, so we're adding one more, with Togekiss, is holding a Life Orb, Serene Grace, 148 HP, 252 special attack, and 108 speed. I'm sure that outspeeds something important. Arsenga, do you know?
I mean, it's a Togekiss too, so it probably doesn't matter because...
Yeah, it's pretty fast.
There's a good chance it's going to Dynamax and up at speed if it's coming.
Mm-mm.
All right, so we're running Air Slash, Dazzling Gleam, Fire Blast, and Nasty Plot there. And the wonderful thing here is Serene Grace is the thing that doubles the side effects of moves, right?
Yep. Mm-hmm.
So Air Slash has a sudden 60% flinch chance, is that what it is?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh!
Yeah.
Oh.
If you survive the Dynamax and after a Max Airstream you're outspeeding everything, you're going to have a lot of fun.
Oh,
Togekiss
yeah.
does not need to paralyze things anymore.
No, it can just downright outspeed them.
Yeah. I'm loving like this offensive twist that Togekiss is getting in this generation, because back in Gen 6 and 7, I saw it used mostly defensively. But now with the Dynamax potential, it just is, like, it destroys things. I fought one in my battle against Shitude, and oh boy, that thing hurt.
You see both variants in VGC. It's why one of the reasons why it's so formidable, because you don't know what to expect.
I think the big thing is it lost Roost this gen, so it's hard to recover and be bulky.
Mm-mm.
It will get it back soon, though, right?
Well, Battle Stadium blocks old Pokemon, so it will not.
Yeah, not in this format.
Bokan gets its bulky Togekiss.
Oof. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's gonna be fun.
Yep.
Any Anyway, I guess for today that's it for our Pokemon of the episode, so we can move on to our very last and very, I would say most cooperative from our audience segment, the mailbag.
It's mail time! It's time for the mailbag! Send in your emails!
And welcome to the mailbag, which, as always, is brought to you by the very fictitious drink, Green Taurus, the energy drink that gives you hooves. Nice one, guys. Okay, as always, we posed you a question in the last show. You didn't have to answer it, but you did, and we appreciate it. If you want to answer this week's mailbag question, which is going to be, is Pokemon a living game? What do you think about it? You can write us in at pucklepodcast@gmail.com, like these fine people did this week. We're going to start with our first email from Devon.
Yep, and I'll be reading this one. I've gotten some feedback from people for listening to old episodes saying they really like my voices, so I'm going to give that a shot again. I've been listening to watching a lot of mobster movies recently, so I'm going to give that
the
a shot.
The voices are coming back. I don't know if I'm scared or excited about this.
We're going to be trying, you know, sort of old-timey mobster, you know, going on.
Okay.
Hey, Buckle Crew, got into your podcast back in the summer. Got into your podcast back in the summer, and I've been really captivated since. The content is great, and I love hearing everything from the super engaging trivia and in-depth discussions to actual team building and Go news. Actually, no, I'm going to change it. Anyways, back to the topic. I'll be buying Home Premium, but I'm not quite happy about it. The $16 price tag seems awfully steep. Oh no, I'm going to get hit. Sorry, Devin. I need to get the right voice. I feel like Godfather is where we're going here, so I'll start here. The $16 price tag seems awfully steep. I would honestly swallow the pill a lot easier if it was a one-time purchase and not a subscription. Home is made out to be this big haven for Pokemon from every generation and others going forward. But isn't that what Bank was supposed to do? Not to mention, you've got to keep paying for Bank if you want to transfer to Home from Gens 1 to 7 any time outside of the 1 month free period. Or keep the Pokemon who cannot enter Sword Shield currently in cloud storage. Some people mention the benefit of... Okay, we're going to try My Cousin Vinny now. Some people mention the benefit of getting the month of free Bank, but you can only hold 30 non-Galarians in Home for free. Not to mention, if they aren't added in a DLC, then you'll have to hold off until they either release a patch with that Pokemon or buy the next game they're featured in. When they showed off the new DLC, they had a graphic for transferring the new post-patch Pokemon. However, the way they use the graphic, attached if they care to seem, seems to imply that you can only put Pokemon in the base game from Home. The red arrow goes gray when showing the base game system. Then, the DLC might as well be another yearly fee. Especially if they do another round next year, or put the rest into a new game. It just seems strange to ask the customer to make so many purchases towards this game when the game itself still feels marketed towards children. $5 to use post-bank, bank post-patch, $16 for Home to transfer from Bank. Yeah, that's a premium feature. $30 for 1 year of expansions, and then Nintendo's $20 for online, optional, but encouraged! It seems like a lot! Oh my god, my voice is dying. I'm gonna go back to my normal voice. Especially when people use the term casual players and characters like Little Timmy so often when referring to Game Freak's decisions. I like how he got so impassioned, and I... never mind. Anyway, it's a very passionate email. Okay, good.
What $16 a year is worth is up to the consumer, but it's a shame that Pokemon is the only one offering this kind of service. No competition means no value comparison, and I don't think anything shown is worth that fee, especially the new renders. Are those all new models, or is it a mix? Yuck! But I think I've written plenty. I will personally be using mine for Go Collection showcasing, Wonder Rooms, sharing my box space with friends, and trying to get those silly new achievements for transferring and collecting throughout the years. Thanks so much for reading, and keep up the great work, Devin.
I agree. $16 is dumb. It should probably be like 10.
Yeah, very well thought out email. Like, I apologize if I didn't do it justice.
No, I mean, that was hilarious, but it was very hard not to laugh.
Gotta keep the mailbag intriguing, guys.
It got a bit shrill at times, I have to say. Sorry to anyone who had their volume up in the car.
Yeah, I'm sorry. You don't have to.
For once, I'm not the one killing headphone users. Hey, we're doing something new. Anyway, yeah, no, I do agree that it feels a little cash grabby, and it's quite a step up from bank. But you're not getting Ultra Sun and Ultra Moon. Like, that's a whole like $45 that you're not spending. So. You could argue, yeah, but I have to keep paying this every year. But it's like every year you get a DLC and home and bank is a year where you don't get another $60 Switch game.
I still don't think it's like a $16 purchase though, or $16 worth of value.
I agree, but
like
you
I'm
know,
going
you make-
to spend $3, transfer all my stuff during the free time that bank is, and then I'm just going to let it sit there.
Mm-hmm. I mean, that's very fair. Like, I do agree that it's kind of steep for what it is. But, you know, if you make the comparison with another game that is not all that useful except for giving you Blacephalon, you know, it kind of puts things into perspective, in my opinion. Let's put it like that.
It's just unfortunate for it that Nintendo Switch Online is sitting there at an annual price of $20, and that gives you so much more.
Oh, that is a very good point. And you need both.
Yes. I mean, if you want to fully play the game, yeah.
That adds up.
You want you want Switch Online and home. And that, like, the $16 next to the $20 value of Nintendo Switch's online service is just absurd. Yeah, that's where I stand on it. I don't think it's worth it.
Enough. Well, I do. I use the philosophy $1 per hour of gameplay. So if you're getting a lot more hours of gameplay than that, then it's worth it. Most people put well over 150 hours in their Pokemon games.
Fair enough.
But it's stuff that you probably shouldn't have to spend the time on. It's just like a badly designed game, so you have to spend the time on it. Like, you can look at it that way, too.
That's true.
Like, the game doesn't... If you're a shiny hunter, the game doesn't respect your time.
Oh, especially this generation.
You are rolling dice and praying that it happens.
This generation is terrible. Like, I wish I had the Pokerator back. Anyway, that was a good email. Thank you, Devon. Let's move on to the next one, please, Sigma.
Sure. Good old Sampy. Hey, Thatch, who isn't here. Sampy here. First, love the show, going 4 years now. I hope you are doing well. So, I was listening to the recent episode, and I heard your take on the anime, and I just wanted to say I disagree with you, not 100%, but I see it, from a business logic about Ash leaving the anime. See, Ash has been in our lives for 20 plus years, and we've seen him go through a lot, many adventures. So, it would make sense for him to retire and pass the torch on to someone new. Where I disagree with you is from the logic of SpongeBob SquarePants and Nickelodeon and Disney's Mickey Mouse. These two characters are so iconic that they don't try to change the formula. SpongeBob and Mickey have a formula that makes them, and it's nostalgia no matter how old you are, and can still remember a time these two made me feel happy from childhood. That's why we have not seen a replacement for them yet.
I'm sorry, I have to interject. Like, yes, you can be old enough to remember a time without SpongeBob.
I am old enough to remember a time without SpongeBob.
I am very much old enough to remember a time without SpongeBob. Sorry, go ahead.
Not saying that Patrick and Donald Duck couldn't make a spinoff, that'd be excellent. But would they really generate the same energy as their comrades? No, at least in my opinion. honestly, I mean, technically DuckTales is a spinoff, and I really liked those when I was growing up.
I have always liked Donald better than Mickey, but that's just me.
Yeah, right? I like Donald's nephews.
Oh, same.
But anyways.
Louie has always been my favorite Disney character.
At least in my opinion. Go and Score Bunny can't bring the same weight as Ash and Pikachu. Go wants to catch Mew, which, for one, I see an episode arc where he will have a chance to meet it again. But then again, he'll probably save it from the Team Rocket or a new villain team. They'll have a special moment together, and then offer Mew to be friends. Mew agrees and flies away. What would honestly be his goal afterwards is to catch more Pokemon? He's not really, as of this email, not really into battling. Ash and Pikachu are driven by adventures, battling, and Ash's Pokemon get more time to develop their characters, and we get to connect with the team, while Go seems to be using them for that episode. Anyways, thanks for reading my email. I know it's a lot. Sorry if you feel my response. Feel free to respond, and maybe I'm missing something from this logic.
So, I think the reasoning here is that, like, I was about to say, oh, no, you're getting it wrong, and then he hit the nail on the head, because the thing is not Ash, the thing is Pikachu. Like, Pikachu's the Mickey.
Yeah.
So, if Ash, like, retires, and, you know, like they did in the manga, Pikachu makes an egg with a nice lady Pikachu, and they give the egg to Go, and Go hatches a Pichu, and the Pichu grows into another Pikachu that might have, like, the haircut from the Pikachu from Let's Go Pikachu, then it still works. There, I fixed it for you.
Yeah, the Pikachu is what's important. I mean, we think Ash is important, but...
I don't like Ash.
I'm not a big fan of Ash either.
I like Pikachu better, and I've never liked Pikachu all that much. I've warmed up to him over the years. Like, he's very cute. And, yeah, Ryan Reynolds helped, for sure. But, anyway, yeah. No, he has a very good point, but I think the point should be more focused on the Pikachu. Anyway, our last email is from She. He says, hello, wonderful Thatch. I guess that's a wonderful R Sigma now.
Hi.
Lustrous Whimsicott and Sleepy Scrawn. Oh, he knows us so well.
Yeah, that, honestly, I can't even deny that.
No, yeah, I did tell him that it would be recording pretty early, and I told him, you know, Scrawn is gonna be waking up so early for this. Anyway, she here reporting back to answer your mailed question, which I believe was, what do you think of Pokemon Home? To be honest, I don't really care. I don't have a 3DS, which means I don't have Sun and Moon or X and Y, so I really don't have anything to transfer. I guess it is going to be weird with competitive, having Pokemon I think of as Sun and Moon era in Sword and Shield. Quickly, before we get too far off topic, I'd like to give a big shout out to the UTC and its members. Everyone has been super kind and gone far out of their way to make the time differences work. This is false. He has been the one making the time. Like, he woke up at 6 this morning to have our battle. It's been awesome getting to know all these great people as well as getting to talk to the co-host. Speaking of which, I've had a super hard time finding average players. So far, I've battled Sigma, Whimsicott, hello Whimsicott, hi myself, and Shamu. All three of those people are very good, despite of what some of the more fluffy ones say. Okay, look, I brought a hostile Flapple, and I hit like 10 moves in a row. That's not being good. That's being lucky.
Yeah, it's like hitting a guillotine.
Exactly. I think it averages out to pretty much that. Maybe even less. So, and it's been hard picking up a win. It's still been fun, though, and the suspense I feel on Monday morning is pretty awesome. Anyway, getting back to the topic. Pokemon Home really doesn't mean anything to me, especially because of how much it costs. I mean, I'm already paying $20 for a Nintendo membership, and with Pokemon Home and everything else, it really adds up. Either way, I'm not getting it, as I don't have anything to transfer. So that being said, I think it'll be fine. I mean, it's money, but I guess a lot of people need it. Anyway, that's enough rambling. I'll be signing off now. She. Yeah, so another vote for the it's too expensive for what it is category.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it's even more so if you don't have a 3DS.
Exactly.
Like, if you have nothing to transfer, I mean, I'm running out of room, so I'm probably going to transfer my living decks from this generation to there and just let it sit there forever. But, you know.
Mm. I tried breeding myself a new shiny Whimsicott, but I haven't managed it so far, and I have a shiny Cotton and a shiny Whimsicott just waiting for me in my old games, so I do have something to transfer.
I have a lot of fun shinies I want to transfer and let them just sit there.
Now with the, like, with the nature mints, I can even go into that one box that has been sitting there for like 10 years, maybe even more. And it's the box with the shinies I caught in the garden in Pokemon Platinum with the PokéRadar.
Oh, yes.
They all have terrible IVs and terrible natures, but you can fix that now. I have two shiny Eevees in there.
Unless it's a special attacker and you want that zero attack IV, like me.
I never go for that.
Considering my favorite evolution is Leafeon, that's not going to be a problem.
Right. I'm such a perfectionist with it that I simply just won't use a shiny if it doesn't have a zero attack stat and it's a special attacker. I either have to find some way to make it a mixed set or just I don't use special shinies. It's terrible.
You've told me before and it's so rough. Like, I couldn't be as dedicated as that.
The percentage chance of those mattering is so minimal that I never care about that.
Mm, yeah.
It's a lot more likely if you're breeding the Pokemon, but...
Mm, yes, yes.
I mean, you're still hoping for that 1 in 32 chance that you get the correct EVs on the other one if you're locking in that zero attack, so it's not worth it.
Or you're just waiting for the lucky chance of, you know, getting a zero where the attack is the one you don't transfer, but it's the same thing.
Yeah, it's still a 1 in 32 chance.
I mean, I will take 1 in 32, honestly. It's the problem is getting it onto the shiny.
Yeah.
That's rough. Anyway, thank you everyone for the emails. As I said before, if you want to be in the section of the show and get your email read, you can write us at pucklepodcast@gmail.com. We try to read all the emails. They don't always fit in, but there's a channel on our Discord where we put the unread emails so everyone can have their voices heard. Speaking of our Discord server, that is an excellent place for you to hang out with us and a lot of other cool people, get the news fresh, get into our tournaments, which, as she mentioned, are a whole lot of fun, and getting to some great raiding, trades, and all that sort of fun stuff. If you want even more Puckly goodness in your life, we are on a lot of social media, like Facebook, Twitter, and Reddit, and I'm running out. Instagram. We are on Instagram. I'm too old to remember Instagram. I'm sorry.
Couldn't tell you what it looks like.
So the link to our Discord and our social media is either in the show notes or on our website. Our website has been having some trouble lately, but we are getting PucklePodcast.com back up and running in the very near future, so it's going to be more stable, and you can find all of our information and all of our contact there. If you want to help us out because you appreciate what we do, we have a Patreon, and you can subscribe there to, you know, give us some of your leftover cash and get some fun perks like some swag that is being refined at the moment. So stay tuned. And you get access to raid nights, live episodes. The one that was planned for this week has been delayed, but it will happen pretty soon. They're coming back, guys. They are, I promise. And you get to be a patron of Paco. I mean, what could be better in your life?
We're having big plans for the Patreon, too. So now's a good time to join.
It's going to be very exciting, but no spoilers. You know my policy. So I think I touched on pretty much everything that Thatch does.
Did we hit ramen? I wasn't paying attention.
I mean, Seth is going to hit ramen in the break real hard. So, but yes, shout out.
Which you have already heard if you're hearing this now.
Exactly. But it It bears mentioning again. White Ramen is awesome. It's sponsoring us, and I hear it's very tasty, and I wish they would get their delivery to Europe, but they haven't yet. White Ramen, get on that, please. I want to try it. You know, honestly, how many times I would eat ramen if I could have a healthy, delicious ramen delivered straight to my door? Probably too many times. But it's healthy, so, anyway, if you use the code that Seth mentioned in the break, which I believe is Puckle, you get 10% off of your first purchase and you get to taste some awful ramen. Awesome ramen. So, is that all, guys? Did I get it? Did I make it?
Yeah, I guess.
Sure. I think we're good.
You guys sound very sure, but I will take it. So, thank you for listening to yet another episode of the Puckle Podcast, but we need to sign off. I am the Fluffiest Whimsicott.
I'm Sigma.
I'm the North Sigma.
And here in the beautiful Lavender Town Radio Tower, it's once again closing time.
We here at Puckle would like to thank all of our patrons who make this show possible and as well as just give us a bunch of awesome stuff to work with and improve the show. I put out a video earlier this week thanking all of you for your continued support. Some changes to the tiers that are coming. You should see those changes reflected on patreon.com/pucklepodcast later this week. But I do thank all of you for supporting the show in as much as you have and as much as you could. It's just amazing to me and I really appreciate it. And on that note, I'm going to go ahead and read all of your names as I do every week because I'm blown away. And I want to thank all of you for making this possible. And I'd like to reiterate, as always, none of us make money from this show. It all goes back into the show, making it bigger and better. And it's very exciting because we can do a lot with your support. So once again, thank you. And without further ado, thank you to Greg, Viger, Dooley, Cordia, Snickle, Rob, JT Rex, Big Chunk, the Fluffiest Whimsicott, Sean, Michael, Paul, Dexio, Christian, Miguel, Apollo, Corey, Rotted Mushroom, Titan Killer, Lane, Piccolo, Ryan, John, Wade, Marcus, Kinkovic, and Harmonia, Alolan Dergs, Tank, Sheldon, Michael, CR, Perkins, Bodtech, Swampertata, Gone Corefish, and Amanda, Chris, Andrew, Alex, Kenneth, Michael, Jordy, Ellen, Jacob, Bear, Nicholas, Holden, Justin, Launchpad, McQuack, Craig, Joey, Matthew, Sheon, John, Jonathan, Merlander, Caleb, Joshua, Zane, P. McGee, Robert, the Golden Klefki, DGZ, the British Gent, Brian DeWolf, Dylan, Trevor, TJ, Keegan, Peach, Doc Knox, Dennis, Farmer Fox, Echo, E-Dub, Jonathan, Disco, Calypso, Kelvin, Taylor, Mike, Colt, a Legionary, Maxie, Shambles, Justin, Crocodiles and Crocs, Michael, Tim, Equals Dylan, Andrew, Old Man Tup, Jesse, David, Super Chad, Chan, Chandman, Lord Corbinick, Harvey, Lotto, Jordan, Raymond, Brock, Ed, Louise, Kevin, Nico, Hayden, Voltaire, Calvin, Justin, Luke, Matthew, Neleb, South, Brandon, Locke, iStarly TV, Zach, Kenneth, Prime Rib, Elfeats, Jeremy, Gigantamax Metapod, Sammy, Graham, Greg, Alec, Christopher, Yegler, Mikey, Christopher, Kevin, Chris, Darkflame, Halfle Review, Sparky, Coop, Jordan, Shira, Zardy, Smacky the Frog, Ironcaster, Orange Avenger, William, Steve, Anime Gravy, Hazelnut, Sarah, Dylan, Joseph, Traby, Cordell, Julie, and Alex. Thank you to all of you. That is a lot of names now. I appreciate it. I will catch you guys all on the flip-flop. And again, you're awesome. Thank you for your support.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.